Hello, friends. Welcome to Beloved City Church in person, online, on the podcast. Thank you for being with us in this moment. No matter where you are on your faithing journey, new to faith and spirituality, looking in and exploring Jesus maybe for the first time, or maybe you've been a longtime Jesus follower, I believe today will be one more opportunity to help you, to encourage you, and to challenge you as well to take one more step toward truth about God and about faith and about yourself, friends. Over the course of this series of talk episodes that we've been exploring, Freedom Looks Good on You, we've been learning what it means to walk in freedom. Freedom from those things that don't quite bring life and fulfillment and actually drain my energy, tend to developing feelings of insecurity and shame and fear. We've learned about the things that plug up our hearts and selfishness and bitterness and unforgiveness, rejection caused by words that have been spoken over you, maybe evil thoughts we explored that distract us from living free. In the last episode, we actually learned about spiritual warfare, the significance of understanding that we, each of us, are in a spiritual war against powers and spirits, principalities of darkness that are hell-bent on destroying anything good. We made time to put on the armor of God and pray through the process corporately. It was powerful together. God is at work in the hearts and minds of each of you. And I thank God for his continued love and grace towards you, his favor on you, and his diligence to work his transformation in each present here and now. If you missed any of this series, I highly encourage you to jump in on the move with the podcast or grab some popcorn and sit on your couch at home and watch again on YouTube. I truly believe that God is speaking in this season. He is changing circumstances. He is healing wounds and hurts. He is setting people free from believing the lies and the deceptions of the enemy, Satan. Lies that tell you and I that we aren't good enough for you, that you aren't good enough. Lines that you are too tired to be a part of spiritual community, that you've got better things to be doing. Pressing concerns that you are weak and insignificant or that you are better than this or that. If only I had that or this or was that I should, I wished I had, must be. Friends, freedom does look good on you. Will you let the Holy Spirit reveal to you where you have partnered with lies? Jesus wants to absorb your brokenness and your stubbornness and these lies that have been spoken over you. Jesus wants to absorb them, your pain and your past hurts, shame, grief, and in return, he wants to fill you full of new life, light, and love, friends. Change me, Jesus, even now, and fill me with the Holy Spirit is what I'm asking for both you and I in this season. As he, Jesus, since all power and authority is in him who gave good gifts, the Holy Spirit, to live in and to dwell in us, a holy temple, assembled living stones, fitly joined together as a body to the head, which is Christ. Meaning we aren't the latest IKEA delivery scattered across the living room floor. I don't know about you, but IKEA is frustrating. I need like an IKEA degree to put it together. No, Jesus puts the lonely in family, friends. His plan A is the local church, the vehicle and agent of change in the earth still today. We are not just gathered for personal gain, waiting on the floor for someone to put us back together, but we are assembled for a purpose. All of those pieces are being built into something great, meaningful, and honorable, filled with his glory. I love this church. I love his body. His bride is radiant in white, friends. So good. Together, many, yet one still in Christ, set apart for his good and holy works in the earth, clothed and armored with his goodness, righteousness, and perfection, not of our own accord, but of his, living our lives as unto Christ, sold out, paid for, fully devoted followers, hungry and thirsty. I don't know about you, friends. Are you hungry and thirsty for more time with him, for his presence, followers of our Messiah, our rescuer, Jesus, our forgiver, and our leader still today? Are you ready for this? Vessels of honor is what we're going to be talking about today. Maybe you don't feel like a vessel of honor. Warts and acne and bad hair days, and maybe you yelled at your kids all the way to church today or in this moment, haven't slept in the same bed as your spouse for 3 weeks, can't stand your neighbor or coworker. Vessel of honor? right? We ask ourselves, or what the heck is a vessel of honor anyway? I haven't seen that on Twitter lately or on Facebook or wherever you go for your social influences. But let's unpack this a bit of today because we want to talk about a vessel or a jar, or maybe for you it's a Tupperware container, a temple housing of some sort, breathed life into man and man became a living soul, a container that's holding, a spirit man that's leading the way is what we're looking to do in our spiritual order. 2 Timothy, let's start in the New Testament portion of this library of books, this collection of books we call the Bible today. 2 Timothy 2 and 20 says, "Now in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable." Verse 21 says, "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, and ready for every good work." Paul, in this passage of scripture, is addressing the reader and audience to exhort and to teach and to encourage, living your life in such a way as to be used by God with honor. There is this great house, friends. It is solid and built on the foundations of Christ Jesus, who is the cornerstone, the aligning stone. On this great foundation is a great house filled with a variety of vessels, bowls and plates and vases and much more. This house is a great house because of who it belongs to. The house of our God is a great house. It is a great house because it was engineered and planned and designed on a great scale by a master architect, the one who created the heavens and the earth, you and I, the earth and the entire universe. And this house houses a great multitude of the greatest people to ever walk the earth. It's a great house, friends, because of the cost it took to build it. Jesus laid his life down for the church. This mansion is far more valuable than any physical real estate on the earth, built by the great work accomplished on the cross by Jesus Christ. This house is great because of its importance. This house and what happens in it is at the center of God's plan of all the ages. It is God's plan A. There is no plan B. The business of this house has far greater significance and importance than any of the trivia that most of the world is interested in at this present moment. Paul is using this analogy of a household and household items to describe believers and our ability to be useful and honorable to God by serving him, fulfilling our respective destinies as a royal priesthood, serving the high priest who is Jesus. Some of these items, these vessels, gold, silver, wood, and clay, some are expensive and used for special occasions, set aside for Christmas dinner maybe, and in some others as inexpensive and ordinary. Sometimes I feel like that, and sometimes I'm sure you do too. Everyday use, but in the master's hands, these are each utensils that can accomplish great things in this world, my friend. Every person, every one of us are different, unique in some way, wired differently, think differently, maybe even at different places of maturity in our walk with God, in our living, in our faithing, across the spectrum of followership. Maybe you're new to knowing Jesus or following Jesus, just looking in, don't even believe in Jesus. Differing in our walk with Christ and differing skills and gift sets, no two stories, friends, are the same. And no one starts out as pure gold. We go through this process and we can't skip the process as much as we want to. Our integrity would be unable to hold the pressures and tensions without cracking. Our character and our competency, our capacity, fractured as we haven't gone through the process of growing and changing, flexing and adapting. Maybe the next step is too big, causing a gap in our development. I know humans are often resistant to this process. We don't like change, do we? We don't appreciate our comfort being disrupted or afflicted. Yet we know even nature teaches us these things. Healthy things grow and growing things change. Friends, we can embrace the process with humility. God is eager to take you to the next stage or the next step in your development, in your spiritual and leadership formation. And I'm excited for what God's going to do in you. Freedom looks good in you, friends. He is preparing you, that relationship dynamic, that irritant, that inconvenience that you're walking through, the fact that you don't have enough time, money, or energy. God wants to use this gap in where you think you should be and where he wants to lead you, to grow you, to prepare you, to stretch you, to use you for his kingdom's sake, a vessel of honor for honorable purposes. Today, we're going to kick some shame out and we're going to be and grow in becoming this vessel of honor that God's designed us to be for his honorable purposes. This is your freedom in action, friends. You might not feel very special at the moment or in the moment that we're in at this moment. That's okay. God sees you beyond your moment. He sees you beyond this way. He sees beyond your past, even your present, your perspective of you, your mom and dad, wife, husband's kids' perspective of you. He sees beyond all these things. You do not have to be defined by these. God sees you in such a way as we can see in 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. It's dead and gone, friends. Behold, the new has come alive, is new in this resurrection life with Jesus. God does this work for you and in you, and he desires to help you become this vessel of honor for his glory and for his purposes, overcoming shame. You and I just can't stop helping ourselves some days. We be buying every self-help book we can. I get it. I know I'm there too sometimes. Comparing ourselves to every do-gooder around us. Even bought a membership to end up back on the couch at home depressed and sad that it's just not working in the 72 hours like that advertisement said it would. Remember, last week, the enemy wants to sell you a lie that will cost you, to overpromise and under-deliver your fulfillment. But Jesus, his plans are good and perfect for you. He is trustworthy and his word is truth. It can be believed because it's trustworthy. Revelations 21 and verse 5 says, he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also, he said this, write this down. See, I've been encouraging you to be taking notes. So even here in scripture, it says, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true, friends. Friends, freedom does look good on you. Turn to your neighbor in this moment, wherever you are sitting at this moment, say, neighbor, this freedom looks good on you. Friends, you can't look at the lives of others and compare yourself. You don't know what's going on in the lives and minds and hearts of others. No matter how holy and righteous or even unholy or how sinful they may appear, look to Jesus as the author and the finisher of your faith. And let him show you the way, the truth, and the life. Let him grow you and shape you, mold you into vessels of honor, my friends. I already know for myself that I'm not where I want to be with God. I want more time with him. I want to reflect more of his love, his character, and his compassion. I desire to be a lover of his presence. I want to speak truth in love and with grace. I want to worship him and live a life that exalts him in everything that I do, in all my rhythms and patterns, my motivations. I can only look to Jesus to be the way, the truth, and to be my life. The Holy Spirit, the counselor and teacher, comforter, will lead you and guide you and nudge you. Don't be resistant, my friends, but surrender to the voice and guidance of our teacher. He will lead you into all truth, reveal to you the secret places of your heart's desires, not to shame you, friends. We're going to kick shame out today, not to hurt you, friends. We're going to kick out distrust today, not to belittle you and make you feel small and insecure. Too often our human experiences of relationship jade our understanding and willingness to be real and authentic with God, because he is going to somehow beat us with his big altar-sized Bible and make a shameful example of you. No, he loved you so much that he gave his life for you and for the church and for the future you and for the future church. He wants to bring you to a new level of personal integrity in your life, to be a vessel of honor, willing and ready for his purposes. Will you take a trusting step along with me to say, Jesus, here I am. No matter what you're facing, no matter what obstacles you're walking through, circumstance, shape me, mold me, my thinking, my thoughts, my desires, form me, Jesus, into the man and woman of honor, a vessel filled with your glory for your glory. So good. Thanks, Jesus. A few talk episodes back, we talked about spiritual order. Remember that? We discussed justification and sanctification, these big Christianese kind of words, maybe. But just to quickly demystify these again, justification is the event that takes place when we are saved, when we are rescued from our sin and our shame and our brokenness. That moment we decide to turn from living unto self, living my own selfish ways and all my filled with all my selfish indulgence. But I leave those behind and I turn to follow Jesus, him becoming my new center. At that moment, friends, every sin, past, present, and future is wiped clean. Just as if I have never sinned. Justification, just as if I have never sinned. Fresh and clean. All my junk, it's gone. It's wiped away like it was never there. It's a fresh start, friends. Now, sanctification, however, is not an event. It's this process, and sometimes it's uncomfortable, and sometimes it's lengthy, but it's a journey through which God molds and transforms our character, conforming us to the likeness of Christ, is what we read in Romans 8:29. We are being conformed to the likeness of the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. This process that involves your faith in action, which is a trusting surrender as you grow. I am believing and trusting. I am wrestling and grappling with the tensions that we face in our choices, in our rhythms, in our passions, in your motivations, friends, and in your desires. Am I surrendering my spirit, man, my mind and my will and my emotions and my body being willingly offered up as a living sacrifice unto God, a pleasing and sweet smelling aroma? That's some old school talk, but some of you will get it here. This process is transforming us continually, friends. When we believe and we are willing, we are participants in this transformation journey to be more like him, being set free from habits of self-indulgent patterns of sin, our hearts being purified, released from shame and hurts, and empowering us through the Holy Spirit, activated and engaged to fulfill his kingdom purposes for which he has created us. It truly is all about Jesus. This is a life of worship, a life of honor, exalting him as my Lord, my King, my forgiver, and my leader. Now, here are four stages of Christ followership that may help you identify where you are on the journey to know Jesus. Number one, an unbeliever decides to become a follower of Jesus. That is beautiful. It's amazing. Maybe that's where you are today, and we would love to walk that out with you. Number two, a follower becomes a student of the way of Jesus. The ancients called it disciple. A follower becomes a student of the way. You're studying the way of Jesus. I want to know about this way of Jesus. Some of you are there today and some of you not quite, and that's okay. We're going to walk this out. Number three, a student of Jesus points to and leads others to the way of Jesus. So often we lead others to ourselves, or we point others to ourselves, or even to the self-help motivation speeches of today's world. But we want to point people to Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. So point leadership. Number four, you become a point leader as a servant-hearted follower of Jesus. So point leaders become servant-hearted leaders as they follow Jesus. It might be surprising to some of you, becoming a servant as being the way of Jesus. This looks more like Jesus than our host culture influences us to believe, right? Money and power and control, that's what our host culture talks to us about. And this is somehow a rival, right? More money, more power, more sex, more control, more things. The way of Jesus is to fulfill the purposes for which God created us. And that requires us to become his servants. And as a servant, back to where we started in 2 Timothy 2 and 21, it goes on. It says, if you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean and you will be ready for the master to use you for every good work. Wow, friends, Jesus is your friend. He's your forgiver, your leader, your guide, your protector, deliverer, savior. He is also your despotis. Greek word used in this context, your despotis, referring to a person who is a ruler with absolute power and authority over my life. Is Jesus Lord over your entire life, friends? Are you permitting him to be your leader? Will you choose alongside me and many others listening here in the room at this moment to serve at the pleasure of the King Jesus? In the words of Jesus, according to the account of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 20 and verses 25, says, "Kings and those with great authority in this world rule oppressively over their subjects like tyrants. But, friend, this is not your calling. You will lead by a completely different model." And I think this is really relevant for the season that we're in. You will lead by a completely different model. "The greatest one among you will live as the one who is called to serve others, because the greatest honor and authority is reserved for the one with the heart of a servant. For even the Son of Man," Jesus, "did not come expecting to be served by everyone, but to serve everyone and to give his life in exchange for the salvation of many." I know many walked away from Jesus when they heard these words, saddened and possibly angered by the words and instructions of Jesus. Be a servant. You're supposed to be a king, not a servant. Some of you may even desire to do such yourself. Yet he, Jesus, gives us the revelation of eternal life. "Where would I go?" is what Peter even said in that moment. "I have the freedom to choose. In this moment, I choose life, to receive it and to give it away. And these words and these instructions of Jesus, I choose to forgiveness, to receive it and to give it away. I choose to walk in my freedom in Christ, to serve, to minister in the temple, a royal priesthood, to be a vessel of honor for my King and his kingdom purposes. I'm going to be about my Father's business, vessels of honor, pointing everyone I can to the way of Jesus, that they may too experience this same freedom, light, life, and love." Freedom looks good on you, friends. All right, let's get practical for a few moments. Is that okay? I love it when we can get practical and leave with some tools to help us in our day-to-day life. So how do we put shame to bed and honor into action in our lives? Here are three steps that we can walk out in becoming vessels of honor, right? And we'll walk through these. Number one is offer our bodies. Number two is renew our minds. And number three is surrender our wills. Let's look at the first one. Number one is offer our bodies. Romans 12 and 1 and 2. Paul talking to the church in Rome. "Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God, to be a sacred living sacrifices, and live in holiness that's being separated, experiencing all that delights His heart, the heart of God. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship." See, we limit worship to singing a couple songs, but this becomes your genuine expression of worship when I live as unsacred unto God, as living sacrifices in all my time and my energy and with my money. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. Friends, beautiful. Wow. Our bodies often lead the way in its appetites and cravings for comfort and ease and pleasure. Our bodies are often where sin functions, with our mouths and our eyes and our hands. Consider Job, for instance, one of the ancients in the Old Testament portion of the scripture, one of the ancients who made a covenant with his eyes. In Job 31, he says, "I made a covenant with my eyes not to look with lust at a young woman." Our bodies will often lead the way in our appetites and cravings, but we can offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. We can be intentional to lead our bodies, make a conscious decision to avoid sin, run from it, flee from it, make a covenant with your eyes, with the members of your body. We will make progress toward forward being a vessel of honor that is set apart for honorable use in the kingdom of heaven here and now. 2 Timothy 2 and 22, we'll continue from earlier. It says, "Run from anything that stimulates your youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure friends." Who are you surrounding yourself with pure hearts? Who are you surrounding yourself with, friends? Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. Run from anything that stimulates your youthful lust. And one more scripture to exhort you in subduing and submitting your body into spiritual order is Romans 6 and 12. Sin is a dethroned monarch. So you must no longer give it an opportunity to rule over your life, controlling how you live and compelling you to obey its desires and cravings. Now your body's been submitted, friends. So then refuse to answer his call to surrender your body as a tool for wickedness. Instead, passionately answer God's call to keep yielding your body to him as one who has now experienced resurrection life. You live now for his pleasure, ready to be used for his noble purposes. Remember this, sin will no longer conquer you, for God already has. You are not governed by law, but governed by the reign of the grace of God in your life. Friends, we can choose to offer our bodies as a vessel of honor, reserved for the pursuit of righteous living before God, faithfulness and love and in peace. Number two, the second thing we can do is renew our minds. Sin functions in the body, but the mind controls the body. Sin begins in the mind, our thoughts and our cravings and passions and motivations. Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the very way you think. Wow. In the last talk episode on spiritual warfare, we learned that we are fighting a spiritual war against powers and principalities of darkness. We don't wage war like our host culture does. Spiritual warfare is an essential component to Jesus' followership. You're a lover of Jesus, and yet often we have no clue on how to engage the enemy of everything good. And Satan's biggest weapon is lies, planting thoughts in your mind, thoughts that are contrary to God's thoughts for you. Yet how quick do we hit the subscribe button to Satan's thought seeds and start scrolling? Friends, don't listen. Don't give room for his deceptions in your life. Listen to the word of God. Read the word of God. Ponder on it. Meditate. Take your thoughts captive and make them obedient unto Christ, as we read in 2 Corinthians 10:5. Peace will reign in your life when you align your thoughts and heart with the truth of God's word. The Apostle Paul's practical instruction to the church in Colossae, out of Colossians 3:1, says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on this earth. For you have died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. If you are raised to life in Christ, then renew your mind by setting your mind on the things of Christ Jesus. All right, third one. Practical tip here today, surrender our will. Our bodies lead the way in its appetites and cravings for comfort and ease and pleasure. Our bodies are often where sin functions. Our mind controls our body, and our wills control the mind. As we surrender our will, our decisions, our choices to be in obedience to the will of God, his perfect will becomes the motivation for your life. What are your motivations, friends? What is driving your thoughts and mind? Is it your will? Jesus teaches us to pray in Matthew 6 in this way. He says, pray like this, your kingdom come, your will be done. How many times do you pray this in a day? I know usually we ask God to fulfill our will and our desires, to make way for our motivations, but we can change that process. Instead of coming to God with our agendas, we can approach him prayerfully with this mentality instead. Father, I want what you want for my life. Have your way in my life today, in my thoughts, in my motivations, my passions, desires. When we come to him with a neutral heart, that is anticipating his directional provision without bias toward a specific outcome or answer, God's voice won't be difficult to discern. Your will must be mine, Father. When we surrender our will and we come to the Father in this way, we can live with the ability to honor God with every part of our lives. We become honorable and useful to our Father. He will stir up purposes within us and empower us to fulfill our God-given destiny here and now. In the expansion of the kingdom of heaven here on earth as it is in heaven. This is how we pray. Being useful in the kingdom, vessels of honor in this great house that God's building and creating, is the greatest honor of our lives. It does come with a price. His will trumps my will, and you will attract the attention of the enemy, friends. He, Satan, will do everything in his power to distract you from the will of God, to get you to take an off-ramp or on-ramp that will lead you off on some distracted tangent. That is why the prequel to this talk episode was spiritual warfare. I want you to understand how important it is for you to be battle-ready to fight your good fight of faith, friends. If you are not equipped and readied, you will be so distracted and derailed by temptations and snares and distractions, voices and the noise of this host culture around us. You won't be effective in warring in the spirit so that you can be more than a conqueror as you are destined to be in the will of God, your Father and Creator. Wow. So good, Jesus. Thank you. In closing, God created you to be a vessel of honor, friends. This role will require you to fight the enemy of everything good, to reorder your life, though it's going to challenge you and it will get messy. I promise it will get messy at times. The rewards are immeasurable. Obedience brings blessing into your life. In addition, God will use you as a catalyst for peace in your family, joy in your community, and influence of change in your place of study and business. Through the process of becoming a vessel of honor, may it seem a bit overwhelming some days, you will make great progress by being faithful in the small steps, the day-by-day things, friends. Choose with me to be intentional, to set aside time every day to be with God, to listen for his voice, to apply the tree of life perspective to every decision that you make. You will shine as a light before humanity, a light that will drive away darkness. You will fill your circle of influence with great hope and life and love. Friends, freedom does look so good on you. So good. Thank you, Jesus. Will you pray with me, friends? Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross and making a way for me to be in relationship with you. Thank you for absorbing my sin and shame, my brokenness, my hurt, and my pains, healing my hurt and my brokenness today. I choose to receive this extravagant gift of life and ask you to come into my heart and be the Lord and leader of my entire life. I give you all of me today, Jesus, and ask you to lead my life for your glory. Fill me, this vessel of honor. Fill me with your spirit and help me live the life that you gave me, that you died to give me. I want to be in relationship with you. I want to learn more about your way of living. Holy Spirit, reveal and reconcile these areas in my life where I have submitted to and partnered with the lies of the enemy. Show me where shame has become a fruit of those partnerships. Reveal to us through your word and spirit, your authority given us, your plans and purposes for our lives, how we too can walk in this freedom, honorably in liberty, in freedom with abundant life. Show us how to activate your word in our lives. Holy Spirit, continue to transform me and change me and fill me to the fullest with your Holy Spirit, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow, thank you, Jesus. Hey, if you just prayed that prayer with me for the first time and you would like to declare Jesus as your forgiver and leader, let us know. We would love to walk with you as you explore what it means to walk with Jesus. If you would like to publicly declare your decision to follow Jesus, I'm all in. I have decided to follow you, Jesus, by baptism. That means being immersed in water, washing away the old man, burying the old man, and being resurrected to new life in Jesus. So let us know. We want to walk that out with you. At Beloved City Church, we are so passionate about what God has called us to do in this city, to grow a thriving and life-giving church that is centered around Jesus, making an impact for eternity in us and in others. Will you take a step to partner your time, energy, and money with us at Beloved City Church to help us continue and grow the day-to-day ministries of Beloved City Church? Faith without works is dead faith, friends. Together we can work out of our faith. Make it official. Join the Big Table family that we are. Sign up for the next family discovery night. Help us make it work. Join the Grow team. Serve alongside us, alongside a team even at Beloved City Church. And help us make it grow. Will you prayerfully consider how you can give financially to help support the day-to-day ministry of Beloved City Church? You can e-transfer, you can tithe in different apps, look on our website. Thank you so much, friends. We love you. We are praying for you. May Jesus reveal himself to you and through you in a special way today. In Jesus' name, amen.